I think I'm going to wait on the That's My King video, because I was going to play that while you turned in your slips, but I think you've already done that. Everybody turned it in? Well, you did a lot faster than I thought. Anybody got one? Y'all are efficient. Larry, I'm glad to have you back, brother. Everything good in Houston? Amen. Amen. So, he what? Thank you, brother, for being a part of that ministry there. All right, take your Bibles and turn to the Psalms, the hymn book of the Bible, Psalm number 24. And we're going to sing a song today. Not really, we're going to read it. But this is actually what's happening. As you turn to Psalm 24, and I wish I had time to give you all the history. Here's the thing. David, who was the greatest king of Israel, is saying that he's not. He's saying Jesus is king. And he's bringing in the Ark of the Covenant into its holy place. And this is the background of what's happening here in Psalm 24. Today I'm preaching on the King of Kingdom Authority. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. The verse 1 is a very, very key verse in understanding the whole chapter. The earth is the Lord's. And you got to remember, when you see the word Lord capitalized in the Bible, it's significant. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your voice, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Father, thank you for your word. We want to all agree here today that Jesus is King. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. It's my honor and privilege at this point to give you a little history lesson. So kids, I say, how many of you are in school? Raise your hand. How many of you attend school? Oh, wow, more than I thought. Okay. Well, this is probably not taught in your history book, but these are facts that I want you to learn today. Did you know that the colonialists wanted to make George Washington king? But he refused. Because George and many of the colonists believed that there was only one king, and it was not King George III. Now listen to this. These are facts. You can Google them. On April the 22nd, 1774, before the Revolutionary War, a report was sent to King George III of England, and in it, the governor of Boston exclaimed, "If you ask an American who is his master, he will tell you he has none. Nor any governor but Jesus Christ." We're talking about America here. In April 1775, a year before our nation began, in April 1775, when a British major called the colonialists and the villains and told them, "Lay down your arms in the name of George, the sovereign king of England," the immediate response, and this is powerful, they said, "We recognize no sovereign but God, and no king but Jesus." This became the battle cry and the motto of the Revolutionary War. I've got this underlined. Here was the motto for our country, our motto for the Revolutionary War. No king but King Jesus. The Bible says you're to have no other gods before you. No king, no president, no governor, no pastor, no preacher, no hero, none. If you don't take kingdom authority of your life, the kingdom of darkness will. So the question that I want to ask you today, who is the King of glory in your life? Who gets the glory out of your life? Who is the King of glory? Circumstances you're in right now? the crises that you're going through. Maybe you've got your eyes on a big movie star or a rock star or some sports name. I don't know what you're thinking. We give glory to a lot of people and a lot of things. Movie stars get a lot of attention. But in Scripture, there's only one star, and that's the bright and morning star. And the star of this worship service is Jesus. Amen? I mean, that's why we're here today. We're to have no other gods before us. Three things quickly. Who is this king? Number one, he's the sovereign king. Look at verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, capital L-O-R-D. That means Jehovah God, meaning the self-existing one. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. Now, sovereignty simply means this, that God's in control. Do you believe that? If you really believe God's in control, it changes your attitude about everything. So let's talk about control. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So here's my thoughts. If he owns it all, then he controls it all. Economy and all. Somehow we think that the economy is in man's hands. Folks, let me tell you something. God gave you your job. He could take it away. God gave you the dollar and he can take it away. Amen. The fact is this. The earth is full of God. He made it full. Guess what he does? He keeps it full, even how much the living creation demands of his natural resources. He keeps it full. Think about it. The millions and billions of people, the earth is full of air. The air is full, notwithstanding all the lives which breathe it. The sea is full. The land is full. The feed, the fields and the fruit of it. Millions of people and plants derive their nourishment from it, but it's still full. I'm here to tell you, God is simply saying this, I'm full. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. The God of the universe is saying, I know what I'm doing because I control it all. Second of all, he's speaking of creation here. Notice what he said, the world and they that dwell in it. Our God is sovereign king and we are his subjects. They that dwell in it, he says. If I can take care of the universe, well, I sure can take care of you. Amen? Are y'all listening to me? You are God's creation. You're not a mistake. It is still true. He has the whole world in his hands. Natalie Grant sings this song, he's the king of the world. Listen to some of the lyrics. I tried to fit you into the walls inside of my mind. I try to keep you safely in between the lines. I try to put you in the box that I've designed. I try to pull you down so we are eye to eye. We have forgot who the king of the world is, so much so that we now worship the creation rather than the creator. Folks, we're here today to worship the creator. And that's the third word I want to give you. The sovereign king is creator. For verse 2 says, he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the flood. God is sovereign God because he created everything in it to give him glory. He is the king of glory. His creation gives him glory. Amen? All creation gives him glory. God's purpose for your life on this earth is that you would give him glory. But boy, we messed it all up when we sinned, didn't we? And we've all sinned. There's no perfect people here. We've all messed it up. But then the Bible says we are recreated in Christ Jesus. All I got to say is what a king. Amen? King Jesus is why we're here today. Second of all, he's the saving king. The king of kingdom authority came to save. You say, where's that at, Pastor? Well, look at verse 5. Righteousness from the God. There's only one God who can save. Amen. Of all the gods there is, there's only one who sent his son as a lowly baby, born of a virgin, went to a cross called Calvary, and guess what? The only God who got up from the grave. Amen? And so, notice it says, the God of his salvation. This saving king has authority to produce something that I think is most important that I share with you today, and that is kingdom man. And I don't mean to pick on the man. We can talk about the women too. But I believe God holds us men accountable to be spiritual leaders in our home. And we have an awesome responsibility. Notice the question in verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord. That's a holy hill. And who shall stand in his holy place? We need men and women of God who understand we're involved in a kingdom work that is indeed an uphill battle. And the only way to climb this hill and stand, and that word there, stand, means to continue in, is to abide in the King's holy presence. As the redeemed in Christ, we need to see some kingdom men. I'm talking about man of God, man of integrity, man of principles, man who will fight for God and country, man who are man enough not only to be a father, but to be a daddy. There's a big difference. Kingdom men who don't walk out on their wife or their family when the going gets tough. Kingdom men who will say, enough is enough. I'm standing today with my king to build his kingdom. Kingdom men who will stand as a band of brothers and say, I've got your back, brother and sister. Kingdom man who will stand up for their pastor and say, we've got your back, pastor. We need true soldiers of the cross today who are willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Look at verse 6. This is the generation of them that seek him. They seek thy face, O Jacob. Why did he say, O Jacob? Because Jacob in Genesis 32 wrestled with God. So much so, he said, I'm not going to turn loose of you, God, until you bless me. Isn't that great? We need a generation of men like that and women who have made up their minds to seek God and God only. We need to, the Bible says we're to seek him with all of our heart. And he said, you'll find me. God will show up and he'll show out in the church, in the sanctuary, when man start leading the way God intended, to be the spiritual leader of his home, to be a leader in the church, to take the first step and say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You say, well, what if I don't have a man? Then you make sure you stand up and do it. Amen? It's time that we stand up as kingdom people and say to our children, hey, you may not like it, but as long as you eat at my table and you live in my house, you're going to God's house. We're living in a day where we've got children who tell parents what to do. We need some godly man that'll stand up and say, for me and my house. And then we need a kingdom mentality. Not only do we need kingdom man, we need a kingdom mentality. Look at verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul with vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Now the hands speak of actions, and the heart speaks of intentions. It's time that we start thinking about our actions and our intentions. We got to get our minds and our hands and our hearts out of this world and lift up our minds and our hands and our hearts to a higher level. I'm going to tell you, the bar has been lowered. Even in our educational system, it's like, you know, no child left behind, so we're going to lower the bar. I just think what happens if you raise the bar, my personal opinion is you can help the children that need to come up to that level. We've lowered things. I'll never forget one day my son, he came into my office and he said, Dad, I dunked the ball. I said, no, son, he's a little fella. I said, you couldn't have dunked the ball. It's impossible. Well, he's an engineer now. He figured out, and there was a way, I didn't think he knew how to do it, to lower the goal. So he brought the goal down. He was just about, I don't know, about that tall. He brought that goal. I had it up here. But Jonathan brought it way down here, and he comes into my, I dunked the ball. He bragged, I want the glory, Dad. Hey, I'm the king of glory. I dunked the ball. And that's what we're doing today. We're getting the glory, not God. Well, we've lowered the standard. Let me tell you something about God's standard. It hasn't changed. Who said it never will? That's right. Thank you, Carl. It never will. He's the same yesterday and today and forevermore. So what do we need to do? Think about what you're watching on the internet. Think about what you're reading. Think about the people you're listening to. Think about who you're following. Think of yourself, because one day you're going to have to give an account for yourself. The proverb writer had it right when he said, as a man thinketh, so is he, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. That means who don't value the things and the vain things of this life, such as honors and riches and pleasures, but makes God his portion, it says. To lift up the Almighty God instead of living for the Almighty dollar. We need to get our minds focused. Church, we need to get our heads out of the sand, and we need to get our minds out of the gutter. Oh, yeah. It's not about glory to God anymore. It's all about man. We worship the creation of God rather than the Creator, the saving King. He came to redeem man, to recreate us in Christ Jesus, to make us kingdom men, to give us a kingdom mentality. And guess what? I'm not done. We got a kingdom message. Notice, look at verse 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We've received the blessing. I said we received the blessing of the King's message. Amen. We've got God's word. We've got the right word. The message of the gospel is seen in verse 7. Look at verse 7 of Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Our Redeemer King found the gates of heaven shut, but having by his blood made atonement for sin, as one having kingdom authority as king, he demanded entrance. The angels were there to worship him, and they asked in wonder, Hebrews 1:6, who is he? It is answered that he is strong and mighty, mighty in battle to save people and to subdue his or their enemies. Hebrews 1:8, powerful verse. But unto the King he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the sepulcher of thy kingdom. Our message is the message of the King. And when we get back to teaching, preaching, and reaching with the Word of God, God will show up in all of his glory. God always shows up at the reading of his Word. Many are ignorant of the kingdom message, which is why the question is asked, who is the King of glory? Who do you battle with today? I'll tell you something. There's only one way that we can stand and battle with the enemy that we face, and that's the devil, and that's the sword of the Word of God. And tell you, friends, Satan is working overtime. I'm looking for the Lord to come any moment. I'm talking about, I believe, the time is now. There needs to be an urgency and a brokenness in the church now because, folks, time is running out. If you're going to get saved, I wouldn't be putting it off. Tomorrow's never promised, amen? And the message of the gospel is today is the day of salvation, amen? Because tomorrow could be too late. All right, last thing, and I was in a hurry, apologize for it to get to this, but this is where God called me to be. Because when you study God's word, when you think of this King, he's like no other king. Yes, he's sovereign King, he's in control of all things. He's the saving King, and he has a purpose in saving us. But when I study God's word, I see him as the serving King. The serving King. Can I say it again? The serving King. Jesus said, I didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. Jesus didn't come to die on a cross for him. He came to die on a cross for you. He's the serving King. Look at verse 8. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Jehovah, the self-existing one, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. We are in a spiritual battle today, and we have the right King to lead us through this battle. And I'm here to tell you, you know, the Hebrew word here for word, the word for Lord is Yahweh. And it means that God don't need any of us, but we sure do need him. That's what it means. Jehovah God means self-existing one. Matthew 23:11. Now listen to this. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. I want you to turn with me, and I usually don't take the time to do this, but I want you to turn to John. Gospel of John, John 13. Don't have the time to read the whole account, but this is the account of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. It's interesting what's happening here. You know, Peter was saying, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, well, if I don't wash your feet, Peter, you'll have no part of me. And Peter said, don't just wash my feet, then wash my whole body. But Jesus explains the purpose of his servant leadership here. Look with me in John 13:14. Gospel of John 13, 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, King, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I think the greatest lesson for me and for our church to learn today is that he's called us to be his servants. He came not to be served, but to serve. He is a serving king. Romans 10:15, the Bible says this. Now, after Jesus said this about washing his disciples' feet, Paul said this later, and I love this verse, Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Folks, we have a great, great God. And I want to talk about how great he is for a moment. I want to talk about the greatness of God. The King of greatness. His love is the greatest. His life is the greatest. His mercy is the greatest. And he is greater than all your sin and all your guilt and all your shame. Greater than any circumstance. Greater than any person. Man, we put our eyes so much on people and we idolize people. We think about the President of the United States. Man, I tell you what, I'm amazed how so much emphasis is put upon the president. And the Bible says that God's in control of who is placed in authority over us. And then the Bible says God can turn the head of a king. Yeah, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's great. Listen to this verse. I love this. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thy reigneth over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and do great strength into all. Yet this great God chose to wash the disciples' feet. Why would he do that? To teach us all a lesson. Humility. Hello? The problem in America today is everybody thinks of themselves, and we think about ourselves as far as we'd like to get the attention of others. But the glory goes to God. God didn't create you for you. He created you for him. Amen? He created that you might give him glory. And listen, folks, I don't want to scare anybody here today, but he is God, and he brought you in this world, and like some moms say, I can take you out. I'm telling you something. We are here to give him glory. Amen? And if we're not giving him glory, then what use is our life? What's your purpose? Your purpose for living is to give God glory. You say, well, preacher, Ronnie, now wait a minute. You're going somewhere with these deacons. Oh, yeah, I am. Because God's already shown me something about this deacon ministry here. That if we will do deacon ministry as servants, God has shown me very clearly that he will bless and honor and put favor on our deacon body. But if we do any other thing than being his servants, regardless of what the church says and who they select as deacons, they can't be deacons. You can't be unless you're a servant. The word deacon means servant. Okay, so if you're doing elevating, and I've asked myself this question for the last few months, God's been dealing with me about this. Why do we ordain deacons? It's like we don't think about it. I'll tell you why we ordain deacons. To do ministry. That's why we ordain. We don't ordain the building committee. We don't ordain the finance committee. We don't ordain we got a committee for everything, but we don't ordain the committees, you know. But we ordain deacons because they are to be about ministry. So never should the deacons be about business. Never. Not biblically. No. It should be all about ministry. Yeah. They were selected in Acts 6 to take care of the widows and the people who needed ministering too. And for sure, no one can do it alone. So here's King Jesus down on his knees here, and he's washing the disciples' feet.
And he's teaching us something that if you want to be, if you really want to be used for my glory, then learn to wash each other's feet. In other words, learn to serve others. That's what makes him such a great king, amen? He's the serving king. He's the king of greatness. Because listen, none of us could go to God because of our sin, but God sent his son to us, and Jesus humbled himself as a little tiny baby so that anybody could get to him. And then he's over here humbling himself with his disciples, teaching them that this is how you serve me. This is how you do ministry. This is how my church functions. I'm washing your feet. Now you go wash the church's feet. You say, preacher, I ain't never heard that in no Baptist church. Well, maybe we haven't seen the King of Glory for that reason. Because you're only going to see the King of Glory working in your life and in the life of this church when we are acting in humility. Pride goes before a fall. And just as sure as you think you're something, look up here, you're nothing. Just as sure as you think that you've got all the answers and that you know better for you than you know, you're fixing to fall flat on your face. Somebody needs to tell you. But if you bow down before this King, King Jesus, and you understand humility, and you understand servant leadership, watch out! Watch out! Watch out! Hey, the gates are about to open wide. The King of Glory is about to walk through. Who is the King of Glory? Lift up your heads, verse 9. O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Didn't say might, hope, they shall come in. Our King Jesus left all the glories of heaven, that beautiful celestial city with all the angels giving glory to him 24/7 all the time as King, and so he could come to be our King. Church, it's time to lift up our heads. The King of Glory is about to come in, and God's word is being fulfilled. The time is at hand. Open up the doors, because here's the picture that David had, the greatest king in Israel, saying, hey, we're obeying God. We're bringing in the Ark of the Covenant, and the doors of the temple was being opened. Well, friend, I'm telling you something. I believe with all my heart that the doors of heaven opened up when Jesus ascended to the Father. He had done his Father's will, and they said, who is this? Who is the King of Glory? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Glory. That's what is seen here. And I got to close saying this. He's the King of Grace. He's the King of Greatness. He's the King of Glory. He's the King of Grace. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. Selah. Selah is a musical direction, meaning to pause, to meditate. So let's pause here for a moment. We need to pause and yield and surrender our lives right now. For God's grace to take control of our life, you've got to humble yourself. You've got to be willing to come as you are, sin and all. But His grace is greater than your sin. The Hebrew word for hosts is sabah. It means Almighty One who knows how to do battle and win every time. The Almighty One of God was sent from heaven to do battle with sin. And He dealt with sin on the cross. And He died. And He rose again, giving us victory over sin, death, and the grave. King Jesus won the victory. He fought the greatest war known to man called sin, and He won. My favorite song, I really believe this is one of my favorite songs. His grace is enough for me. Great is your faithfulness, O God of Jacob. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy when nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. For your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. If you're looking for something more than the precious grace of our God and King, if you want to follow someone other than the greatest servant leader, Jesus Christ, the King of Glory and of Grace, if the Holy Spirit is not at work in your heart right now saying, open the doors of your heart and the King of Glory will come in, then I ask you this simple question. Who is the King of Glory in your life? Who is the King of kingdom authority? Who is the King of Glory in your life? Who gets the glory out of your life? I'm going to tell you who. It's either King Jesus or it's the old devil. Because, friend, we are, in one way, we're in the middle of this thing, and there is a battle going on all the time. And listen to this, and I'm right about this. Satan, Lucifer, that angel got kicked out of heaven because he wanted the glory. And folks, I'm going to tell you where all of us are right now. We're that close at any moment. I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. But don't you think God can't bring you down. Don't you think God can't knock the rug out. God don't share his glory with nobody. Nobody. Not me, not you, nobody. This work of grace is totally God. For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God.
He's the king of my world. That's my choice. Amen, Sherry. He's the king of our lives. And I have made a decision this week. This man has made his mind up. Regardless, it's tough being a pastor these days. But I've made a decision. I'm going to walk in truth. It don't matter what anybody says or anybody does. I know people today get carried away with this world. But I'm more concerned about the one who's the king of my world. And I'm going to give him glory because he's the king of glory. I want to do that right now. Thank you, man, for letting me do what the Lord. Thank you for humbling yourself. By the way, isn't that a humbling experience? That is one of the most humbling experiences that will ever happen in a church. Let's thank him for it. Be here next Sunday for homecoming. Father, it's been a humble experience to get on my knees and to wash these men's feet. And for me to have in my heart, in my thinking process, that these men are here to help me preach the gospel of peace. And Lord, that's my prayer. Lord, all I want to do with my life, all I want to do is simply to walk in truth. And Father, I know that Satan is opposed to that. I know the world is opposed to it. But God, I refuse to listen to the enemy. I refuse to listen to the world. You saved me at a very young age. You called me to preach at a very young age. Been pastoring now for 40 years, so why would I give up now walking in truth? All these years, you've helped me. You've brought me through storms. You've brought me through circumstances. You've brought me through crises. You're the king of the world. And I bow before you today as your servant because, God, I know that the only way you're going to anoint me, the only way you're going to use me is that I'm your servant leader. And that's my prayer today, that I pray that I've done everything exactly the way you wanted it because you are king. You're in control. Make me a good listener that I can hear everything you're saying, and here's my commitment to you and this church. Lord, as you speak to my heart, I will lead them. And if they don't follow, then, Lord, they have to make the decision whether or not to follow. But, God, I'm going to be the man that you have anointed for this hour, and I'm going to walk in truth regardless of what anybody thinks or anybody says. I'm going to walk in your truth. Thank you, Father, for the word of God. We've got the message of the king, and I pray that we will handle it carefully and that we will rightly divide the word of truth. Thank you, Father, for this service, and thank you for the church being patient today to be a part of servant leadership. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Tell someone you love them today.